हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
So I have thought of discussing it in three sessions. First part is Madhyama Bhakta, how Madhyama Bhakta should offer his love to the Supreme Lord, which is actually learnt by serving the spiritual master. By learning to serve the spiritual master properly, one can learn to love the Supreme Lord. That's the first part. Probably I think that will be the topic of discussion today. And we will not be able to cover anything more than that, I think. And second part, we will discuss on chanting the Lord's holy name, which is also actually part of chanting of the Lord's holy name and worshipping the deity. These two we will discuss in one more class, which is also coming under the same heading of Ishwareta Dadineshu Balishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarishwarish directions. One is by serving the spiritual master, how we gradually come to develop love for the Supreme Lord. That we will discuss today. And in another class we will discuss on chanting the holy name and worshipping the deity, how that helps in developing the love for the Lord. So that will be one part, two sessions we can discuss. And then how a Madhyama devotee is a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord. That will be one class for the devotee, and that is very valuable to discuss on that. And if they are in that connection, we will discuss on friendships with equal devotees and giving. Friendship with equal devotees and serving more advanced devotees. Those two things will come in that. Probably one class we will discuss on that. And then one class we can discuss on giving mercy to less advanced devotees. Or the relationship with innocent. Innocent people. So we are learning these things. And then one class we should discuss on avoiding the association of atheists or non-devotees. So we may think probably it looks it will go on for 5-6 meetings. But it really worth it, because I feel that these topics are very relevant to congregation devotees especially. Because congregation devotees come across non-devotees very easily. When you are working in your working situation. So that deserves one full class of discussion. And we also, it's valuable for us to learn how to deal with senior devotees and equal devotees. Dealings between devotees actually forms a very important part of Vaishnava lifestyle. I've been speaking about this to the college students. When it comes to our practical life, it may be a little different. And the first part what we are discussing today is on Ishware, with the Lord, how to love the Lord. In that one first part we are discussing on serving the spiritual master. Let us see what is the connection of how by serving the spiritual master one develops love for Krishna. So in between I will be asking all of you questions, so which will help us to understand the subject better. Instead of just giving a lecture and hearing like a spectator syndrome, by asking questions actually we all will develop our understanding better and better. Okay, we will begin with this question. How can serving a spiritual master be counted in developing love for the Supreme Lord? Prema, the first concept of, first aspect of prema, developing prema for Ishwar. And then how can service to spiritual master be counted in that? Who can say?
The spiritual master is a representative of God, and we have to treat him as good as God himself, and by that we can develop the love of God.
Through his mercy, yeah. That's correct, yeah. That's what I was looking for. Actually, love of God begins by hearing about Krishna from his authorized representative, or authorized Vaishnava spiritual master. So, by serving the devotee, by serving the Mahat or Mahatma, By that one develops love for the Lord. Let us see how step by step it happens. When we discuss in the course of the discussion, you will see how the conditioned soul in this world comes to the point of developing the great love for Krishna by serving the spiritual master. I will read a few sentences, you can hear this. Love of God begins by hearing about Him from His authorized representative, the Vaishnava spiritual master. This is called Shravan. A devotee's relationship with God therefore begins with his relationship with God's representative, the spiritual master. The disciple understands his spiritual master to be sent by Krishna to save him, and he understands that pleasing the spiritual master is the most important principle in spiritual life and is the secret of advancement. Thus, all the Vaishnava scriptures emphasize that one's relationship with Krishna is realized through one's relationship with the Guru. Just as our relationship with the company is through our boss, isn't it? In the company, there is someone who represents the company. So by pleasing that person, ultimately we are fulfilling the mission of the company. Similarly, the Lord from the spiritual world, He sends the Vaishnava, spiritual master, who actually carries the message of the Lord. In one place, Prabhupada gives the example, just like a radio transmitter, isn't it? A radio transmitter. You know, there is something going on in the radio station which is transmitted all around the atmosphere, isn't it? All you need is a kind of, you need a transistor and adjusting facility. That's a particular band in which you have to fit it. Once it is fitted, then immediately you can hear the sound. So spiritual master is like that, who can tune himself to the spiritual world and get access to the spiritual world and tell us about Krishna. Because he has a connection with Krishna. So we want to be connected to Krishna also. So here is a person who is able to gain access to Krishna. So he has access to Krishna on one hand, on the other hand he has access to the material world also. So that is why he is considered a via media, a transparent via media. So we need a person like that. It's very essential. Because we cannot gain access to Krishna directly. Because we are conditioned souls, we are in the material world. In the first place, we will be reading now very soon, how we don't even know that we are suffering in the material world in the first place. That is our predicament. First of all, unless we know we are suffering, how are we going to seek out a solution for suffering, isn't it? That comes later. So, we need the Vaishnava spiritual master to give us that sublime message. And hearing from him is called a shravana, shravanam. By hearing from him, then gradually one understands what is what is the truth, and then trying to please him, then one makes spiritual advancement. So in this connection, he quotes the Guru Ashtakam, samsaradhanala prayers, and by highlighting on each of the, actually for each of the paragraph he tells, there is some highlight. There is something highlighted in each of this paragraph from which we can learn. So I will read only those sentences which are very essential for us to know. The spiritual master has come from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he can save the disciples from the ocean of repeated birth and death. In the beginning, one does not have so much faith in the Vaishnava. Just like when Tamalakshmi Maharaj met Prabhupada. First time he had come with one of his other friends also. Actually those two boys, young boys, they were supposed to go to one another guru. They were already going to one another guru, who was teaching them some kind of, Shavasana and different kinds of meditation and all he was teaching. So it was some mystic yoga he was teaching. So they were going there. And one day, somehow or other, that class was not there. And they came to know about Prabhupada and they thought, okay, let us venture into this new thing. They just casually came there. And they were sitting and they heard Prabhupada. They saw Prabhupada and they became a little curious. So in this way they started coming. Arakshan devotees started pulling them, come here, come here. They were coming for a few times. And over a period of time, Tamasha Maharaj saw that his faith in Prabhupada is increasing. And then he wanted to ask a question to Prabhupada. So he asked this question to Prabhupada. Swamiji, what happens to a person who may take to this process seriously and, you know, may practice for some time. And, you know, we are driven by the forces of the material world. And if you fall down, what happens to a person? And then Prabhupada said, the same question was asked by Arjuna, to Krishna also. So Prabhupada appreciated him, you are a very brilliant boy. And Prabhupada quoted Krishna, Arjuna's question to Krishna. Then he answered him. So Damodara Maharaj saw that when he heard the answer, he was very, very satisfied. And then the faith developed a little by little by little by little. And it developed more and more. And then the faith in the spiritual master becomes more and more solidified. At one point of time, one can clearly see that this person has been sent by Krishna to deliver me. This is the agent of Krishna, sent to this world to save me and deliver me. In fact, a disciple should be able to see like that. It's very important. Because spiritual master is not some, you know, official priest, you know, who comes to your home to perform some rituals. As we have some, you know, people doing Satyanarayan puja or some, you know, demigod worship. He is not an official priest. Nor is he a guide or somebody, you know, officially appointed by the organization, ISKCON. You know, ISKCON officially appoints one guide for, you know, heading guide for everyone. So Guru is not only that much. That is a very, very primitive understanding of what a Guru is. The real understanding of a Guru is, a disciple should know that my Guru actually has been sent by Krishna as a representative of Krishna to save me, to deliver me from this ocean of birth and death. So that means, if you can see like that means our faith has developed very deeply in the actual identity of the spiritual master. Only as we gradually understand our relationship with our Guru, will we understand our real self and our relationship with God. So in 1968, one disciple wrote to Prabhupada asking, Prabhupada, can you tell me how I can offer food to Krishna? So he asked the question to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, understanding the mood of the disciple, he wrote back in that you don't need to worry about that much. You just keep the food in front of the spiritual master and chant the Guru Pranati. Prabhupada Pranati, you chant. And then Guru will take care of the rest of the things. And he will offer it to Krishna. So Prabhupada wrote like that. See, Prabhupada writes, I can read that later. For offering prasadam, simply prayers to the spiritual master is sufficient. The process is that everything is offered to the spiritual master. And the spiritual master is supposed to offer the same foodstuff to the Lord. When a thing is offered to the spiritual master, he immediately offers to the Lord. That is the system. And as we come by parampara system, it's our duty to go through the right channel. Namely, first the spiritual master, then Lord Chaitanya, and then Krishna. So then Prabhupada goes on like that. So sometimes disciples may have the tendency to become sahajayak in nature. Sahajayak means to want to develop love for Krishna directly. So Prabhupada is insisting on this. So one should know that spiritual master is my way to Krishna. One should always know that. In one place, Jesus told his disciples, I am the only way. And some disciples asked Prabhupada, why Jesus says like that? Is he the only way? And there is no other way. So the spiritual master is the way to Krishna. One should not try to, like the Ritviks do away with the spiritual master or minimize the importance of spiritual master. One should know that spiritual master is the agent of Krishna, and I need to learn about Krishna from him, and then I can achieve Krishna. Before meeting the spiritual master, we are so covered by illusion that we don't even know we are suffering the pangs of birth and death. But he opens our eyes. Once we understand from him that we are in the ocean of samsara, we desire to get out. So we turn sincerely to him. He is the representative of Krishna. If he accepts our service, then we are safe. So these are very, very deep sentences. So he is saying that before meeting our Guru, we are so covered by illusion that we don't even know that we are suffering birth and death. Just like a child sometimes is playing in a sandbox, you know. You've seen children playing in a sandbox, you know, coming down in the slide, you know, or playing in the seesaw, or playing in a tricycle, or what do you call that? Seesaw, I think. Seesaw, you know, like a boat kind of thing, isn't it? So sometimes the child becomes so absorbed that he spends all day playing in the sandbox. Similarly, all of us in this world are put in a kshetra. Krishna uses the word kshetra in the, which chapter is it? 13th chapter, I think, is it? Yeah. Iram shariram kaunteya kshetram ityabhidhiyate, he says. And then he says, that we are called kshetrajna in the kshetra, nowhere in the field. So we all are put in a field in which we are absorbed in this world. Try to think of the days before we became devotee. If you think deeply how we were leading our life, if you think for a while, would you like to take 2 minutes and think about it? And I can have this juice in time. My goals in life before coming to Krishna consciousness is one way. Another way is, what were the things we were fascinated by in life? That's another way to see also. And we can also see how we behaved with others, with our friends, with our relatives, with other people we come across in life. And what we consider to be artha, and what we consider to be anartha. We can think of that also. That means what we consider to be worthy and what we consider to be not worthy.
Most of the time it was daydreaming.
Daydreaming, isn't it? That's very, very true, yeah. Actually, if you think deeply, our respect for Guru will increase tremendously. This is a really worthwhile contemplation. What were the activities we were doing and where we would have been led to by those activities? If you think like that, it's really horrifying. That actually one can be led down in a downward spiral of material entanglement. Actually, unless one comes across a Vaishnava guru and surrenders to such a guru, there is no hope of becoming free from the pullings and pushings of the mind and senses in this material world. To lead a life of such purity as the one we are leading now, it's practically an impossibility in the material world. So, that's why he's saying here that we are so covered with illusion that we don't even know that we are suffering in the pangs of birth and death. Which means we consider what is suffering to be enjoyment, what is temporary to be permanent. That is actually a definition of avidya. So we are absorbed in avidya before meeting the Guru. But the Guru opens our eyes. In fact, once we understand from him that we are in the ocean of this birth and death, then we desire to get out. So we have to actually have this strong desire to get out of this world. Not that we are like Prahlad now, you know, we are thinking that, oh, birth after birth, I don't mind being in this world, you know. Compassionately, I'll preach. We are not in that platform also. At our stage, we should certainly have a desire to get out of this world. But because the avidya is deeply rooted in our hearts, sometimes even after taking to Krishna consciousness, we don't realize the dangers of this world. Like, you know, recently the tsunami waves came and attacked. So we had gone to this Pajaga Chetra, birthplace of Madhvacharya. So there is an ocean there. So we took our boys, NIT-surgical boys, for a ocean bath in the evening. So that you can take bath. Probably we are the only ones taking bath there. There were many, many people standing almost, 100 feet away from the ocean. You know, standing and seeing the ocean from a distance. Of course, they were relishing the beauty of the ocean. But they were in a safe distance. And I asked them, is the ocean very deep? You know, why people are afraid and standing so far away? And we asked 3-4 people and all of them said, tsunami, tsunami. Everyone. They are afraid of the tsunami wave coming. So the tsunami wave has created such a traumatic experience. People are fearful. Anyway, we went and took bath and came after that. Recently, I was hearing the experience of Indradumna Swami. He was speaking in Bombay. So thrilling to hear. So they had gone to Sri Lanka after the tsunami thing. And he said when he met the people, he met many people. And he was checking whether they are getting their food. And people said we are getting more food than what we need, they said. Because not only Sri Lanka has arranged, even Indian government has arranged. And worldwide people have sent donations. So there is no dearth of wealth. No dearth of food, no dearth of clothes. You know, we have got stacks of clothes now. Everything we need, they have given. But still, many were weeping and crying and appearing to be suffering. He asked them, what is the problem? They said, there is only one greatest fear we all have here. Is that the experience was so traumatic that there is a constant rumor that tsunami is coming, one more tsunami is coming. There is a rumor coming. So we are not able to sleep peacefully at night. So they were asking him, is there any way we can get out of this fear, constant fear? We may die anytime. That fear is there in all of us. Like, you know, one fellow said, we were, you know, I was catching my young son, you know, five-year-old son, and the wave, when the wave came, it snatched him away and took away. And another person was saying, my mother, you know, I saw in front of her, I was climbing on the top of a roof, you know, I saw my mother being floated by the, you know, ocean and being carried away to a faraway place. I just could not save her. So we saw these situations with our eyes. You know? The nature was so cruel. We saw with our eyes. And they said that we are fearing that the same thing may happen to us also. So they're weeping and crying. So is there any way we can get out of it? So he told them, yes, I got a medicine which I can give all of you. And he said the holy name. So he chanted Hare Krishna and told them to sing. And they were not singing. You know, when he was singing, all the people sat around him and started clapping hands. So then he called the Pandit and asked him, Pandit, what is this? People are clapping hands but nobody is singing. Why are they not singing? And he said, no, they don't know this mantra, he said. They only know Ram, you know. So then Narasimha Swami started speaking Ramayana Katha there. He spoke for some time, half an hour or so. And when he was speaking, all of them were nodding their head. They all understood what he was speaking. Then he started singing Raghupati Raghava Raja Raman. Everyone was singing loudly after that. So he was telling, in this world, the anxiety, fear, lamentation, these kind of things actually attack people more than physical problems. So, as he says here, if we can realize that this world is a dangerous place in which we are living in, that we have to get out of this world, that desire should come, then one can serve the spiritual master. He says at the end, if he accepts our service, then we are safe. That means when the Guru accepts the service of the disciple, or in other words, if the Guru gives some service to the disciple, that service should be seen as a privilege. The spiritual master, it should be seen as good as the service given by Krishna himself, directly. Because that point we'll be reading later, how in the spiritual world, Radha and Krishna and Lalita and Vishakha and all other, many other sakis, they all take part in various pleasurable pastimes. And Radha and Krishna are actually served by so many gopis and sakis. They're being served by so many of them. And they're assisted by many, many sakis like that. So spiritual master also actually assists Radha and Krishna in the ultimate platform. So anyone who assists the Vaishnava in serving Krishna is also serving Krishna indirectly. He's also actually getting an opportunity to serve Krishna. So it's a great privilege. It's a very great privilege to assist a Vaishnava. Actually, by assisting such a Vaishnava, one also makes advancement. Like, you know, in the early days, when Prabhupada was carrying the steel trunk of books, you know, sometimes Prabhupada would be singing kirtans and then he would ask people to buy books. So he had a steel trunk of some of the Bhagavatam books which he had written. So, in one such occasion, this Satsurada Maharaj came. He read his pastime. So Prabhupada asked him, can you hold these books? Can you keep these books? So then he started holding the books. And Prabhupada made an announcement to all the people, anybody who wants books can buy from him, can take it from him. And he became, you know, actually a book distributor. And Prabhupada used him to distribute his books. And he started distributing and asked Prabhupada how much he should collect and all, you know. So he started collecting and giving like that, you will read that, you know. So it's a privilege, he got the privilege of serving Vaishnava. And now later on he himself became a great Vaishnava, like that. So, if the Vaishnava accepts our service, then we are safe. Then one is put in a safe position by that. And then he is saying, by Krishna's grace, the spiritual master is an ecstatic devotee. This is the second paragraph. He is always engladdened by the Sankirtana movement. Naturally, he engages his disciple in chanting the holy name and dancing, singing and playing musical instruments. Then the disciple also becomes ecstatic in the natural happiness of Kirtana. except for the grace of the spiritual master, the disciple could never enter the kirtan ras. The spiritual master is like a touchstone. He gives us the holy name. And if we chant the name with devotion, we realize our relationship with Krishna. Before coming across a great Vaishnava, we must have considered chanting of the holy name or singing of the holy name to be something that is ridiculous. Isn't it? It's very common, especially amongst the youth. We think that this kind of singing in bhajan is meant for the sentimentalist, as Prakashananda Saraswati considered. If such a learned scholar like Prakashananda Saraswati can consider that, what is become of anybody? Anybody can consider like that. Normally people who do not know about God, they think it's a waste of time. Or people think these people are fools. Or they're sentimentalists like that. That is why it is said here that it's by the grace of the Guru that the disciple can enter the kirtan ras. So Guru, he himself sets the example by singing, by chanting and playing instruments, and absorbing himself and becoming ecstatic in that. And then by observing that, then the disciple also develops a taste by the grace of the spiritual master. Then he also wants to sing. Then one also observes that attitude of singing for Krishna. And then when it is done like that, initially we may do it for musical entertainment. So the guru tricks the disciple into singing and chanting and dancing like that. But then over a period of time, one understands this is not an ordinary activity. It's really the ultimate activity. Shramanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Actually the ultimate activity. It's actually a service to Krishna doing this. And in this way, he's called as a touchstone because he gives a holy name. He gives a holy name to the disciple. Actually, this is the right vision to see that Guru has awarded me the holy name. He has given me the charity of the holy name. And by accepting the name from him, and hearing it from him and repeating the holy name, I also got an opportunity to serve Krishna by singing his names. And when I sing Krishna's names, then Krishna becomes very pleased. And by that, when Krishna is pleased, then we also become pleased. It's actually reciprocal, isn't it? When Lord is pleased, then devotee also is pleased. That's why in that song, he says, Deha Krishna Nama Dhane, he says. What is that song? Ekaki Amar Mahipayabada Harinama Sankirtane Tumi Krupa Kori Shraddha Bindu Diya Deha Krishna Nama Dhane. So Deha Krishna Nama Dhane is, please give me the wealth of the holy name. So in this way, when one sees that this person is very ecstatic, singing and chanting and dancing, so the conditioned souls become very attracted. You know, for the first time I became attracted to chanting in the holy name. You know when I read this TLC book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So that book, actually because I was asking many Mayavadi questions, Devam Prabhu gave me that book. He told me to read that book. So I just opened the book and I saw the picture of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with arms raised chanting and thousands of Vaishnavas chanting, you know. And Rupa Sanatan Goswami offering obeisances at Ramkeli. That was the first picture I saw when I opened the book. Probably it's one of the first books I read, I think. Devam Prabhu had given me, he told me about, you know, that if I read that book, most of my doubts will be clarified and all. So there I read Rupa Sanatan, they saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with arms raised. They were very happily chanting the holy name. And they were invoking everyone else to chant the holy name also. Who was present all around them. Thousands and thousands and thousands of Vaishnavas. Everyone was chanting the holy names. So when they saw this, it was a very wonderful activity for Rupa and Sanatan to see. They had never seen anybody, you know, propagating religion in this manner ever before. Because when you go to temples, generally one pujari is performing the archana. And he will ask you, what is your gotra? What is your name? He just takes your name and gotra and goes and offers to the Lord, you know. Samarchana takes a coconut. This is commonly seen. This is a commonly seen religious principle. Or you do yajna, you do dana, you do tapa. But nobody has seen somebody propagating love of God, you know, by raising the arms and chanting the holy name, loudly singing and dancing also. And that actually makes all the people ecstatic and absorbed in remembrance of God, surpassing all the lower ranks of religion. tatva sarvadhanavan parityaja. It takes one to the highest platform of religion. And they saw that all the people were maddened in ecstatic love for Krishna by chanting and dancing. So, when I read that, that was something that really impressed me. When I read that first, one of the first things I saw. And I saw what I read in the book literally happened to me personally when I went to the temple. It was a Sunday feast. So, after the Sunday feast, of course, lecture was going on. Long lecture, and I could make very little meaning out of it. Because my mind was, you know, wandering, looking at different things, looking at the deities, you know, looking at the different things in the temple. But after that was over, the kirtan started. When the kirtan started, it was a very melodious kirtan. I think it was this tune. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So this, when I heard it, it was like, you know, so melodious. So you can ask anybody who is coming, especially in the early days, you know, any of you can see in your own life. Because you are very inoffensive in the early stages. When you come in the early stages, then you immediately think, you know, this is a song I am singing in glorification of Krishna. And Krishna generally lives in Vrindavan. And there must be Yamuna flowing, there are cows, you know, there are gopas, there are gopis. You know. And then your heart is so inoffensive, you develop attraction very easily. And it can really, you know, melt your heart. The kirtan can really melt your heart. And we also become attracted. So, I also started singing, chanting, dancing and everything. So when devotees would ask me, hey, now you become a devotee now. I'll say, no, who said I'm a devotee now? You know, I'm still an impersonalist. This is the only thing I like what you all are doing. The kirtan, you know, chanting and dancing. It's really, you know, it softens the heart. But then later on, you will see that, you know, as Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction, the Krishna consciousness process is such that it drags a person towards success. He says that. It drags a person. Prabhupada uses the word drags. You will see that. So how this Puja Master drags a disciple like this? By this kirtan, Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nritya Gita. Vaditra Madhyan. So by using different instruments, what is that song? Gaura Vihita Kirtana Shuni. Isn't it? He says, Gaura Vihita means, as per Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prescription of chanting Hare Krishna mantra and dancing, he captivates the heart of the disciple. In this way, a disciple should consider in the heart that my spiritual master gave me the dawn of the holy name. Actually, he gives a mala also, isn't it? When he gives the mala, he actually gives diksha, and he gives the naam diksha, and he gives the mantra diksha, he gives the mala also. That is actually a charity which you are getting from the spiritual master. And he's like a touchstone. Why? Because he can make everyone into gold. That was Prahlad Maharaj's, what is that verse? He says, Kritvatma Sat Swara Rishina Bhagavan Grihita. He says that, my dear spiritual master, you made me exactly like you, he says. Actually, that's not to say that, you know, Prahlad is very proud. He's not proud. But he is telling the world that if you follow in the footsteps of a very great Vaishnava, you will also become very, very pure. You will also attain that high stage of purity. This way. So as we chant and dance in the kirtan under his instruction, our relationship with him will grow and improve, he says. So you all know this famous verse which Krishna says, Yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishtami narada naham vasami vaikunte Yoginam Hridayeshuva, he says. Of course, when Lord says, I am not in Vaikuntha, I am not in the yogi's heart, then one may get shocked. If Lord is not in Vaikuntha, is Vaikuntha there or not? If Lord is not in Vaikuntha, then who is there? So, sometimes if you see this metaphor, simile in that climax, anticlimax, alliteration, you know, in those things, one of the ways to highlight a thing, to say a thing, is to say, I am not even in Vaikuntha, I am not even in a yogi's heart. But I am in the place where my holy names are being chanted or sung, like that. Just like, you know, Mahaprabhu said, Mahalakshmi, even if she goes for begging, you know, I tell you, Shivas, you will never become poor. That is not to say that, you know, someday maybe Lakshmi actually is going to go for begging. She is the source of all wealth. But to highlight that. So in the same manner, it is said that the Lord is present wherever the holy name is chanted. So, in this way, the spiritual master captivates the heart of the conditioned soul and makes him chant and dance and offers him Krishna. By giving Krishna's name, he offers him Krishna also like that. The spiritual master introduces us to our relationship with the deity, Sri Vigraha Radhana Nityanana. He invites Radha and Krishna to descend and he bathes and dresses their forms before the eyes of his disciples. He demonstrates the principle of utsaha, enthusiasm. Because without enthusiasm, the worship becomes like idol worship. After the spiritual master installs the deity in the temple, it is up to the disciples to faithfully carry on the worship with enthusiasm. I will read a little more. Worship of the deity in the temple or any service to the spiritual master must be done with an abiding sense of obedience. In the early stages of devotion, obedience is important in our loving relationship with God, and it is formed in our relation to the Guru. You see, the Vaishnava philosophy is so profound, you will see that how we get the spiritual strength in our path of devotion service. That has got a formula, how we get the spiritual strength to go on in the material world without falling prey to sinful life. So anybody can guess, how do we get the spiritual strength? Like, you know, now we all have given up our sinful activities. We are trying to lead a pure life. So where do we gain that spiritual strength from? How does it come?
Yeah?
Regulation. By performing our duties and following the regulative principles. Yeah, now let us go one step before that. Why do you perform your duties and regulative principles, and why do you do your duties? Yeah. What makes us perform our duties, spiritual duties and regulative, following the regulative principles? Yeah?
Association of devotees.
That is one prime cause. Yeah.
We have the faith on the words of the spiritual master.
Order of the spiritual master. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You see, first you love that person, love the spiritual master. And then when you love him, then you have to do what he says. But what he says is a laborious thing. It may be very difficult for you. But you anyway do it. Why you do it? Because you love him. And you have to obey. Because he will ask you whether you are doing or not. So you have to obey. And by doing it and by following the regulative principles, then your mind and senses become subdued and controlled. In this way, one becomes free from sin. So these are the steps. So obedience to Guru leads us to doing our duties. And doing our duties gives us the strength not to fall into sinful life. Like that. So now amongst doing the duties, especially for grihasthas, one of the duties is to worship a deity at home, isn't it? Shishigav Nitai. If you don't have deity, you have picture, you know, worshipping the deity, picture. So as soon as we have a picture or a deity, if you have deity, it becomes all the more important. Like he is saying here, out of obedience to the Guru, we rise early in the morning, just as if he were present before us, turning on the light or ringing the bell to wake us. By his order, we bathe, we sit down to chant the Mahamantra, and then enter the temple room to awaken the deity and perform Mangal Aarti. So all these activities comes as soon as you have a deity at home, isn't it? Like when you have Gaudita, some deity, then you have to rise early in the morning. Because you have to bathe them. At least some devotees dress them once in a week, some do it twice a week, some do it every day, depending on the instruction of the spiritual master. And then one has to cook bhoga for the deities. One has to get flower, garland. One has to chant the holy names in front of the deity. So all these duties follow as soon as one has a deity. So there are abundant opportunities for one to develop one's consciousness by serving the deity. We will talk about that later, worshipping the deity. But what is important here is the obedience to the Guru. You see, it's very easy for people to take diksha from a Guru. But sometimes there are people who have taken diksha, and even after diksha also one may not become awakened in Krishna consciousness, or one may not become serious in Krishna consciousness. Like, how can we say somebody is serious or not serious? Like, sometimes somebody has a deity at home, but then they get up at 8 o'clock in the morning. 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning. And then they chant all the rounds in the evening. Some people may do that actually in the long run, after some years. One of the greatest curses of the material world is that over a period of time, everything goes down. You'll see that. Like sometimes we have some rounds remaining in the night, we have not completed. Sometimes you miss out Gayatri if you are Brahmanas. Sometimes you miss Gayatri, except the morning you miss the afternoon and evening Gayatri you miss sometimes. You can see that. So sometimes we take the morning program very lightly, casually. We don't do it regularly. So even in homes, once Jaya Swami had come here in Pune, he was telling that Prabhupada expected that the Hare Krishna devotees, every morning they rise early, even at homes. Like I heard, 3 times a week you all are meeting, isn't it? 3 times a week?
Twice.
Twice a week, yeah. You are meeting. So other days you can rise early at home yourself and try to do it in the morning. Then that will give us a very great advancement. Because the morning time is in Brahma Muhurtam, mode of goodness. And it is very, very appropriate time for chanting, chanting, hearing. And this is the one can show obedience to Guru. So he uses the word enthusiasm here. He demonstrates the principle of utsaha, enthusiasm, because without enthusiasm the worship becomes like idol worship. You know the difference between idol worship and deity worship. The deity should be, actually, when you have a deity of Krishna at home, then the Lord becomes so malleable to your service. He depends on you. For you to offer him bhoga, for you to bathe him, for you to dress him, exactly like a child depending on the mother. So how can Lord depend on an ordinary person like us? So actually Lord is depending on us because his devotee has ordered him to depend on us, isn't it? So the spiritual master comes to home and says, I am welcoming the deity. So now Jagannath Balade Subhadra or, you know, Gaur Nithai, you know, or Radha Krishna, whatever. And he's telling the Lord, my dear Lord, I assure you that these dudes are just husband, wife, they are good people. They will serve you every day morning. They will wake up. They will serve you well. So they will take care of you. Don't worry. You know? So I assure you that they will serve you well. So he has requested the Lord to take service from us. So one should have this consciousness. So Lord actually depends on the devotees. So if we ignore his service and we are sleeping and we put the Lord to sleep also, Lord, you also sleep, I will also sleep. Good agreement. Isn't it? So that is why it is that the word utsaha is used. It requires enthusiasm for worshipping the Lord. One needs that enthusiasm. So if you have enthusiasm, then one will also make very swift progress. So that is why there are many people who worship, idol worship they do, which means they may just purchase a deity from the market and they may keep on worship, and their family priest also comes occasionally and there is no check system whether they are worshipping the deity regularly, they are offering bhoga regularly. In ISKCON, we have the highest standards in the whole world. In fact, even Swaminarayan people, actually Swaminarayan and ISKCON, these two organizations worship deity nicely. Even Swaminarayan people come to ISKCON to learn how the deities are worshipped, and how the deities are dressed, how the deities are worshipped so wonderfully. So many offerings are given. So these activities, Prabhupada in one place uses the word laborious. If you read in one of the, I think 12th chapter verses, he uses the word laborious activity, which means they are sometimes painful, sometimes. Like, you know, if you have to bathe the deity and you have to make a yantra, you know, and then with chandan, you know, you have to place the deity and you have to give madhupak, you know, and you have to, you know, after abhishek and everything, you have to dress the deity, you have to stitch dresses for the deity, you have to get flowers, you have to make garland for them, you have to put garland, you have to get special mukut and everything, paraphernalia, you know, and all that. And, you know, bringing fruits for the deity. So, one may sometimes feel that, you know, having a deity is laborious. But these laborious activities are actually done for one's own purification, for one's own advancement in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Also, the next paragraph talks about prasadam. The spiritual master has a great faith that the prasadam is not material, and that when the disciple honors the prasadam, and they are going back to Godhead is assured. Thus both the spiritual master and his disciples become happy and successful simply by sharing the palatable Mahaprasadam. So the Guru introduces us to this merciful form of Krishna as Prasadam. Yeah. Please help us in devotion service. I was recently hearing from a devotee. There's a devotee called Patri, Patri Prabhu. He is in Kathmandu temple. So he was telling me what difficulties they undergo in Russia, in Russian preaching. So he was telling about many, many things. In the course of that, he was telling, so he was working in army as a lieutenant head. So he would go with Tilak to the army. And the army officer would become very angry and wild on him, you know. And in fact, he was a lieutenant himself, and he's in a very chief position. So they would scold him and chastise him, and they would mock at him and everything, but nothing happened. This fellow was not ready to change. So then one day they showed the army manual and said, is it written anywhere that you have to come with tilak like this to the, when you come for the parade? Why are you wearing this? So he would argue with them. Is it written, sir, anywhere that I should not wear tilak? So like that. So, of course, they were planning. Actually, he wanted them to be thrown out. You know, that was his idea. But then, because he would be wearing this, some people would become attracted. Once, old lady became very attracted, who was also working in the army office. You know, bringing something, commodities and other things and all. So she saw him and she came and asked him, "You seem to be, you know, worshipping God, can you tell me more?" So he could not talk to her because nobody is allowed to talk about God and all that. So he had one small piece of, you know, kshira, you know, prasad he had carried. You know. He just gave her one small bit of prasadam only. He gave it to her. And then she took it in the hand, and all her other friends and all saw that. And they were asking, "What is it? What is it?" And he told her, "This is prasad, Lord's prasad. You just eat it. If you eat it, you will benefit." So she was keeping in her hand and thinking whether I should eat or not, and then fell to the ground. Then all her friends were watching, what is she going to do with that? And Padipu told her, "See, this is Lord Prasad, it is very, very potent and powerful. You are not allowed to throw it. You have to eat it. And even if it is fallen on the ground, it is still transcendental. You take it and eat it, it will benefit you." So although her friends criticized her, ridiculed her, she never cared for anybody. She picked it up and put it in her mouth. And she gulped it down and said, okay. She said, "I felt as if God has gone inside me." You know, it's my prasad. She said, "It is like God and I am feeling very satisfied now." And she went away, and then Patri left. And then he joined ISKCON and everything. He said probably after 7 or 8 years when he went to Russia, when he went to one of the temples, he found her there. She was wearing tilak and she was having bit, and she was one of the most prominent devotees. She had already joined there 4 years ago. And all the people in the temple are saying she is one of the senior most there. So she was telling everyone, "This is a boy, you know, who gave me prasad. He introduced me, you know, to Krishna through this prasad." So later on she was telling, as soon as the prasad went inside, when she got a Prabhupada's book, everything became clear to her. Even previously she got many, many books from Krishna devotees, but she was having a tough time understanding them. When she ate that prasadam, you know, things started becoming clear and falling in place, you know. And she became a very quick devotee after that. Sometimes we keep eating prasad every day and we take it cheaply. We tend to think that, you know, it's like any other food. Sometimes we see it more as a food than as mercy. Ideally speaking, the prasadam should be seen as mercy. The degree to which we see it as Krishna's merciful manifestation in front of our eyes in a grass form. So Krishna's mercy manifests in a grass form as prasad. So if you take it in that consciousness, we will make a very swift progress. That's why the Mahaprasad prayer should be chanted with proper attitude and with the understanding of the meaning. Then it will produce a very profound effect. Actually, it is mercy, and people have benefited very, very greatly from that. In fact, according to Upanishad, it says that the food, the grass food that you see, that turns into stool. The nutrition value of the food, which is invisible, that turns into blood. Like for example, if you take a cashew nut, you know, it's so small in size, but nutrition value it is very high. On the other hand, there are big fruits, you know, but nutrition value, they are not even equivalent to cashew nut. You know. That's why what you see with the eyes, grass thing, that turns into stool and urine. But the nutrition value of that substance, that turns into blood. But there's a third thing, which is a consciousness with which the food is cooked. That goes to the brain and that nourishes the brain. So that's the Upanishad verse which says that. So, similarly prasadam also, prasadam is cooked by devotees and offered by devotees with love. So it has a consciousness invested in it, which goes into our system and it actually transforms our consciousness over a period of time. And it is Guru who introduces us to that prasadam. The spiritual master's position is to train the disciples, just like, also, the Guru is regularly serving Radha and Krishna. These are the next two paragraphs. Sri Radhika, Madhava, Yorapara, and Nikunja, Yuno, Ratikela, Siddhya. So, he regularly serves Radha and Krishna. How? Like, for example, he may arrange a swing for Jolan Yatra. And he helps to decorate Srimati Radharani, Lalita, Vishaka and the groves of Vrindavan. He directly takes part in such pastimes and encourages his disciples to join him. So this is one way we can understand how he is serving Radha and Krishna. Another way, in the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, he also serves Radha Krishna. How? By being a preacher, arranging for Sankirtan, in attempting to bring the fallen souls back to Krishna's feet. That is also serving Radha and Krishna in the Chaitanya Leela. So there are two roles the spiritual master plays. One role is directly worshipping the deity, dressing the deity. Not only deity, in fact, he has an eternal role to play in the pastimes going on in the spiritual world. So one may not know exactly what type of service spiritual master is doing in the spiritual world, but he has a relationship with Radha and Krishna. So on the other hand, he also is a preacher arranging for Sankirtan. So somebody asked a question to Prabhupada about, if a spiritual master is in a Sakya Ras and if we are in Madhuri Ras, how can he take us to Madhuri Ras? Somebody was asking a question to Prabhupada like that. Of course, Prabhupada didn't reject the question. Prabhupada answered also. He said, just like a teacher teaches you mathematics, science, history, geography, so many subjects he teaches in your school. And then you study, you go from standard 1, 2, 3, 4 like that, go up to 10th or 11th or 12th. And then a stage comes when you specialize on one of those subjects. Like you may specialize in science or you may specialize in history or specialize in geography or whatever. So Prabhupada says, spiritual master also elevates a disciple higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. He brings a person to a stage where after which a disciple can specialize on one of those rasas. So spiritual master can be in any rasa. And the disciple can be in a different rasa. There are practical examples for this, isn't it? Shyamananda Pandit and Hriday Chaitanya, isn't it? Hriday Chaitanya was the guru of Shyamananda Pandit, isn't it? Shyamananda was put that... Dukhi Krishna, isn't it? So, Radharani put a new type of, symbol on his forehead. Then he helped Radharani to get the nose ring, isn't it? He helped her. Ankle bills, yeah. And then when his spiritual master came and saw that he's wearing a new type of tilak, probably started Upper Sampradaya, some new Sampradaya, he became angry with him. So then Radharani came in his dream and told him actually that, it is me who actually gave this symbol to your disciple. Like that. So his guru was in Sakya Ras, but disciple was in Madhuri Ras. So there were two different rasas. So Prabhupada says, that a guru takes a disciple ahead to a very high stage, after which one may specialize in any one of these rasas, and depending on one's role in the spiritual world. So, in the beginning, one should do one's routine very nicely. Routine means the Vaidhi Bhakti, rising in the morning, chanting, and reading Shastra. If you go keep on doing that, there is a way by which one can, get deeper into spiritual life. Otherwise, we will just remain superficial. Like Prabhupada said there, says, in the beginning, let us do the preliminary routine work very nicely and be cured of the disease out of Maya. Let us come out of Maya. Then we can know what taste you have for what particular type of food. Isn't it? That means in a sickly stage, when one is terribly sick, you can't see any difference between any type of food. All foods are bitter for the time when one is having high fever. But after one comes out of the fever, then one can understand this is sweet, this is different color, different types of taste like that. So when the spiritual master brings us out of the disease, like that, yeah. So here it is worthwhile knowing about the relationship of a disciple to guru. One time, some of the disciples of Prabhupada approached him and asked him a question. Prabhupada, is it true that first a disciple accepts guru as a master, and then over a period of time he gets more and more intimate, and then he becomes like a friend, to the guru, and then after some time he starts serving guru so well that the guru depends on the disciple, for massaging the body, or he becomes like a child of the, disciples, totally depending on the disciple, and then one comes to a stage where one develops a conjugal loving relation with the guru and sees him as a sakhi, and then you become guru's assistant sakhi. Prabhupada said, this is absurd. This is a bogus understanding. Prabhupada said, this is improper to imagine like this. So that type of relation doesn't exist between guru and disciple. There is only one type of relation, Prabhupada said. Prabhupada quoted this. Janma janme Prabhu sei. Chakshutan dilojai Janma janme Prabhu sei. He is my Lord, birth after birth. So one should always see only like this. One should see a spiritual master only like this. One should not concoct anything of one's own. Maybe my guru is a senior sakhi, I am a junior sakhi, things like that. And something similar happened with Lord Chaitanya also. After Lord Chaitanya left the planet, he went back home, went back to spiritual world. And then began all the apasampradayas. Some 13 apasampradayas came up, And that there is an apasampradaya called as Gauranga Nagari, or Aula Bola. Like that, there are many. So in one of the sampradayas, they started propagating, developing a conjugal loving relation with Lord Chaitanya. That kind of, seeing Lord Chaitanya as a lover, seeing Lord Chaitanya as a friend, seeing Lord Nimaya as a child or whatever. So these are all concocted sampradayas. So especially these two verses are very esoteric verses, and we should not concoct anything of our own. So we have to know, so there are two ways to see this verse I told you. One is to see that the spiritual master is assisting Radha and Krishna. Even in this world he is doing that, you will see. For example, if every spiritual master has deities, Pranadhan, his very dear worshipable deities. And he enjoys, very deeply by celebrating festivals for those deities. By celebrating boat festival, or by celebrating, they celebrated Pushyabhishek festival in Bombay, by decorating deities very beautifully. In Bombay they made this Ashtasakhi. Now they are going to get to Lalita and Vishakha, I heard. They are going to have deities of Lalita and Vishakha like that. And making very nice decorations for the lordships, with flower decorations. And making the service better and better and better and better for Radha and Krishna like that. So even in this world he is assisting them, but also at another spiritual platform also he is assisting, which is beyond our ability to conceive, we can understand. And by participating in the Sankirtan movement also he is assisting Lord Chaitanya. That's another way to see. So we can assist him also in that way. So how can we know more about Krishna? Here he explains. Certainly the spiritual master is assisting Radha and Krishna, and certainly his sincere disciples are assisting him. But too many questions about the particular rasas will only serve as mental distractions and will not be beneficial. Or it can even become, or not even comprehensible. The disciples' prime work is to assist the guru in rescuing the fallen souls, who in most cases have not the slightest spiritual understanding. By directly assisting the guru in preaching, the disciple will become eligible to understand more and more about Krishna. So this is the way to know about Krishna. Again, we are coming back to the first point we made. By assisting guru in rescuing the fallen souls, one's understanding of Krishna will develop more. So how the formula works? Like, we assist the spiritual master, he is very pleased. And then when he is pleased, yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadat, Lord becomes very pleased. And the Lord says, narshayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena pashvata. I, visiting the heart of my devotee, I lit up the torchlight of knowledge. So Lord gives knowledge about himself to the devotee who very faithfully assists a Vaishnava. So the Guru should be also the Sakshat Haritvena Samastha Shastra, we say, isn't it? So the Guru should be seen as good as God, but he's not God. That's the correct understanding. Just as a Viceroy, in those days, in the British period, the Viceroys were there, isn't it? So the Viceroy represented the whole British government. Anybody seeing a Viceroy should salute him. And the Viceroy can be given gold, silver, jewelry, whatever he wants, he can give him. Because you know that he's not going to touch a single gold coin. Whatever he takes, he'll go and give it to the government. He's not supposed to touch anything for himself. So Guru is exactly like a Viceroy. You know, on behalf of Krishna, he comes to collect and use everything in Krishna's service. So one should treat him as such. Now there are so many gurus in India, if you see. At one point of time or other, they are exposed to be bogus people, cheaters, and they either fall prey to women, or they fall prey to wealth, or they fall prey to allurements, name and fame. And many people have been exposed. In fact, in the modern times, modern educated man has become extremely skeptical about religion and guru, because so many people have done so many mischievous activities. And many of the Indians have gone to America also, and America they have done a lot of nonsense and come back. They have really ruined the good name of India many places. So because of which one may sometimes have a difficulty developing faith in Guru. That's a likelihood. Like even if you take ISKCON situation now, in ISKCON itself many sannyasis have fallen, or somebody who was in Guru's position has fallen. So what do you think is the result of that? If somebody falls down, if somebody in a senior position is falling down, what are the after effects of that? What do you think? Yeah?
All the disciples of that particular person will go again.
Yeah.
All other disciples will doubt their own guru.
Yeah, correct.
That this same thing may happen to my guru.
Yeah, that kind of insecurity comes, fear comes, and such a thing should not happen.
It weakens in faith.
It weakens our faith. That's very true. Yeah, weakens our faith. It can certainly weaken one's faith by seeing such things, especially if we are not very deeply rooted in Krishna consciousness. If you are superficial. Superficial people go away, you know, when they hear such things. And they like Hare Krishna Prabhu left, you know. They heard it. You know, so many people left the society. You know. Because, you know, it disturbs their faith. And they feel that, you know, no, what is this? They become even very angry also. Like Krishna says, you know, Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha, you know. The Krodha, he says, why the Krodha comes, anger comes? Because they become frustrated, you know. They think, what is this? You know, I thought that this person is a religious person, I can put faith in him. I took shelter of him and he has ditched me. You know, he is indulging in the same activity what everyone is indulging in the world. So they become totally annoyed. He is corrupt. He is polluted. And then they lose faith in all the Vaishnavas. They think that, you know, total religion is bad. So Prabhupada used to tell an example that a man who had a plate, he lost the plate. Somebody stole the plate. So he became so angry that he lost the plate. They started eating on the floor only. He put rice, the sabji, everything on the floor and started eating. And everyone would come and ask, hey, you are eating on the floor. He said, yes, some thief stole my plate, what can I do? So he was adamant not to go to the market and get another plate. Like that. Similarly, just because somebody has shown some bogus behavior, we can't label everyone as bogus. See, there has to be something that is ultimately true, of which everything else is relative, isn't it? Like for example, if you see a fake note, you know, there has to be a real note. If there is a fake marble, no, there has to be a real marble, isn't it? Similarly, if there are fake godmen, that is a proof that actually there must be some real godmen. So one has to have faith. It's very important. Because people say in ISKCON today also, how to develop in a Sakshat Hari? How can we treat him as good as Krishna? Because we have put faith in so many people and they have fallen away. How can we put faith? As long as a guru is in good standing, one should have that faith. It's very important. Because, you know, from guru's part, he has to show those symptoms. I will read that part about the qualification, what he should show. Here, as long as he is genuine, the citizens must accept the viceroy's words as coming directly from the king, isn't it? Similarly, the spiritual master should be accepted on the strength of his symptoms and credentials. He must be in disciplic line from a bona fide spiritual master, and he must act and speak always as the representative of Krishna. To such a genuine spiritual, genuine representative of Lord Krishna, we should offer our obeisances. That means he is saying, we should accept him on the strength of his symptoms and credentials. What are his credentials? That means he must have heard it in the parampara, and he must always act and speak as a representative of Krishna. That means if we find that a person, in the Puranas also there is a quote which says, sometimes a person loses interest in Krishna. Somebody may be a guru, but he loses interest in Krishna, he doesn't glorify Krishna, he doesn't talk about Krishna. He becomes like a mundane person, and he starts delighting in material enjoyment. Then he goes far away from the actual purpose of the sampradaya. And there are people like that who have done that, and who have gone far away from Krishna, and he does not represent Krishna properly. Then such a guru should not be accepted. If you accept such a person, then it becomes a blind acceptance, like that. But as long as a guru is properly representing, he is in good standing, and is purely representing the parampara, he is thinking of Krishna, speaking of Krishna, acting as per Krishna's will, and he is showing those symptoms and credentials, and he is coming in parampara, he has heard from another guru who comes in parampara, then what should be our difficulty in putting faith in such a person, isn't it? So one should have firm faith in such a spiritual master. One interesting thing here, he says, at least 3 times a day, the formal prayers should be offered to Guru. But the remembrance and praise of the spiritual master should be continual, he says. That means, 3 times a day, we say, no, dhyayam stuvam stasya yashastri sandhyam, we say, no, 3 times a day, we have to think of the Guru in our mind, morning, afternoon and evening. There are people who chant even samsara prayers 3 times a day. There are many, many disciples all over the world. Morning they chant, afternoon, evening. And Gayatri also we chant for the Guru. We chant also. And otherwise he says, the remembrance and praise of the Guru should be continual. That means the remembrance of the spiritual master and praising his glories, thinking of his advanced nature and his connection to Krishna is actually the hook that keeps lifting us higher and higher. To take us higher. After receiving his orders, the disciple should think about these orders constantly and not be disturbed by anything else. According to Krishna Chakravarti Thakur, the order of the spiritual master is the life and soul of the disciple. Meditation on his order is the perfection of meditation. And sincere attempts to carry out that order are the perfection of human activity. So he is giving the example of 2 people, Isharapuri and Madhavendrapuri, you know this. Isharapuri actually helped Madhavendrapuri remember the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna at the time of death. Madhavendrapuri was very pleased and gave Isharapuri the benediction that he would become a great devotee and lover of Krishna. So Isharapuri became an ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna by the blessings of the Guru. So Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasad is an example for that. Whereas Ramachandrapuri, who offended the spiritual master, became a dry speculator and critic, like that. So these 2 examples of one who got benediction and one who got punishment. These 2 examples are given by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami in Antya Leela. But the idea of giving this is that how a disciple should take the instruction of spiritual master seriously. Now many of us, we don't get instruction directly, isn't it? Many times, Prabhupada gave instruction to some of the people with whom he wasn't directly in touch. But when number of disciples increase, it becomes very difficult. But it is important that every one of us, like we approach our counselor, we approach the local authorities, or we approach even spiritual master and tell him what we are doing. Today I was talking to him almost 1.5 hours today, 12 to 1:30 I was talking to Ranath Swami today. So I was telling him many things about Pune. So I was telling that, people in Pune, Maharaj, they feel they never get to meet you. Even if you come also, you just pass through Pune and all. So I have requested him in different levels meeting with him, counselor, counselees, and our senior group brahmacharis and junior group brahmacharis. So he said, oh, anytime they can come to Bombay and meet me. He said, Friday or Monday, he said, we can meet him, not on Saturday or Sunday. He said, you just take a week in advance appointment and I can surely meet them for a few minutes, he said. So it may be varying from one spiritual master to another. Like Gopakrishna Maharaj, you know, when he comes to Pune, they get to meet almost every time, you know. Every time. I don't know about Ramapa Swami Maharaj, how he meets. You all get to meet him? You meet through Saran, isn't it? Yeah. So occasionally we may get to meet, but sometimes we generally get the orders through the spiritual master's representative as a counselor or a local authority. But it's certainly a truth that a disciple hankers to, you know, get some instruction from the guru directly. Every disciple has the desire. Or at least the disciple may have a desire that, you know, that spiritual master, you know, I should get an opportunity to serve him directly in some manner. And these are not wrong desires. One can have the desire. But we can express when we get to meet the spiritual master, you know, when we get to meet, you know, we can express. Many disciples, they come and tell me personally that, because ISKCON is a very big society and worldwide we have thousands and thousands of disciples, it becomes difficult. But as it is said here, that is why I'm sending in turns some devotees to serve Maharaj in Bombay. Like Ram Tepu went for 2-3 months and came. Prabhu Sampur has gone to Bombay to serve him personally. And many grihasthas in Bombay, they get directly some instruction from Maharaj for things. And there are opportunities like drama they do, for example, with pressure. But we should know whether he knows or he does not know what you are doing. Surely there is super soul in your heart. There is super soul in his heart. If any devotee is sincerely executing devotion service, then such a person will get the mercy. How is it? You know, if you read this Prabhupada appreciation, he explains in that. He says that the Paramatma is in your heart and is in his heart. And the Paramatma makes the Guru know whatever he needs to know about the disciple. That much he makes him know. Like one disciple asked Prabhupada, does Guru know everything about the disciple? Sometimes disciple may do some mischievous things and all, will he know everything? And Prabhupada said, no, Guru is not a Paramatma. Guru is not a super soul. That, you know, he knows each and everything. But he knows as much as he needs to know about the disciple. And the Lord actually is in his heart and the Lord will give him the knowledge. Sometimes if some disciple is insincere, even if he puts up a show as a sincere devotee, the Guru can know. Because the Paramatma actually gives him the inspiration to know. But one should accept the guidance of the spiritual master. Here is an example of a person. Prabhupada writes to one devotee. See here Prabhupada says, know it that I am eternally your guide. But if you don't accept me as your guide, what can I do? Prabhupada's letter, September 9, 1972, to Krishna Das. Prabhupada's writing, he's saying, know it that I am eternally your guide, but if you don't accept me as your guide, what can I do? Unfortunately, if my disciples do not take my guidance, what can I do? By bad association, if it so happens, so I remain silent. I see the pricks of Maya. You mentioned that your pathway has become filled with stumbling blocks. But there are not stumbling blocks. I can kick out all those stumbling blocks immediately, provided you accept my guidance. With one stroke of my kick, I can kick out all stumbling blocks. He says. See? So, here this goes to show that sometimes a disciple may find ways and means to justify why one is unable to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And there are general instructions and there are specific instructions. The general instructions are given in their lectures and classes and tapes, audio tapes which we hear, which a disciple should attentively hear and take notes and try to apply in one's life. And there are specific instructions which may vary according to time, place and circumstance, which a disciple may acquire by approaching the spiritual master directly, sometime, or through your counselor or through your guide, and then one may get some specific instruction. And the specific instructions are even very important. Like for example, if one asks a question to the Guru and the Guru is saying, then the answer should be taken as a specific instruction. Because Guru knows the background and the platform of the disciple, and he may answer the question accordingly, and that should be taken as a specific instruction and should be noted and applied in one's life. So in this way, he says that by learning to bring spiritual master into our life, into our heart, that is why having a spiritual master, he says, is not a, as we were saying, it's not like a family priest, we were saying in the beginning, isn't it? It's not like a family priest coming and performing puja, or it's not an officially appointed guide by some organization or institution. For a disciple, the spiritual master resides in his heart, heart of hearts. So love is actually the connection between the Guru and the disciple, which actually impels the disciple to surrender to the spiritual master. Because we cannot love Krishna in our stage, but we can develop love for the spiritual master. So the best way to express our love for the spiritual master is not only to, you know, speak about his pastimes or feel very emotional about him, or some people, you know, they keep a photo of, you know, the lotus feet of the spiritual master, and when he was offering obeisance, I clicked this photo, you know, from the backside they have clicked some photo, they keep the photo, you know, or sometimes they keep some paraphernalia which is used by the spiritual master and they adore it. All this is good, but the top of all of it is to follow his teachings, follow his instructions. That's most important. That will please him the most. It is not enough to be emotionally attached to the things used by him, or emotionally attached to his outward looks and his outward activities. But it is important to develop a deep appreciation of Guru's contribution to our life. That's very important. Then by that actually, if you read the purport of the verse, Satam Prasangan Mamivirya Samvido, in that verse it says, it's not possible for the conditioned souls to approach Krishna directly. But when they see the Lord's devotees exhibiting the same qualities what Krishna exhibits, then one develops faith in Krishna. Like, you know, how Krishna must be gentle. How do you know how Krishna is gentle? By seeing his devotees, how devotees are so gentle. And how Krishna is compassionate, we don't know. But this is the compassion in the heart of very great Vaishnavas. And how Krishna is the well-wisher of every living being. You see that the Vaishnavas like Prabhupada, you know, they are well-wisher of everyone, you know. So, by seeing the qualities of a devotee, one's faith in Krishna increases by that. Titikshava, Karanika, Surdasava, Dekhina, Majata, Shatrava, Shanta, Sadhava, Sadhu, Bhushana. Our faith in Krishna actually deepens only by seeing a Vaishnava, actually, seeing the Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. We can have some questions? 5 minutes? And that you can ask.
Yes. Discussing about this development of faith and love for the spiritual master. In the beginning stage, that we gradually feel and then it slowly turns into love, and then we start rendering services and impose on. So in the spiritual process, after the years of in the process, how do we check ourselves wherever we stand, and the rate with which we are progressing? Is that sufficient, or the potential is more, and we are doing just a bit, so that we can, like, we are going on developing love, but the rate is not as much as we could have achieved or something.
Yeah. Actually, by assessing ourselves, by assessing ourselves, we come to know quite often that I could do more, you know. I can do more. Certainly, we all can assess ourselves, and we can also ask our superiors. We can ask where we can improve and how we can get better. See, there is no stagnation in spiritual life. Either we go up or we go down. So we are not stuck in only one point. We can. We have to be progressing, or we'll be progressing inch by inch, very slow. And if there is a way to progress faster, we should certainly progress faster. But the, as far as I know, I have learned from Sadhguru Maharaj's books that the love of the spiritual master is something that that develops for a period of time when the disciple sincerely serves. First step is obedience. Like, you know, you say that he is a very great person and so, you know, suddenly he is a representative of Krishna, so you obey his instruction and you obey. And the more by that obedience and surrender and service, some love develops, and the love, you know, matures as trust and faith, and then again you obey more, and then you develop more love and more faith, and then this way it multiplies, and the trust becomes extremely thick, and it becomes practically unshakable. Trust and faith and love and all that. Actually, never becoming Krishna conscious is not an overnight job. It's a ongoing thing, you know. Even rectifying our faults that we all have, it's not an overnight thing. It may take many, many years to change. Often we will find miserably committing the same mistake again and again, many times. You will see in our practical Vaishnava lifestyle, we find many times we commit the same mistake over and over again. So, it may take time to progress in Krishna consciousness. But one should certainly keep one's state of consciousness very spiritually healthy. It's very important. Like, you know, sometimes people become very eager to, you know, achieve those esoteric things. Those are very, very far away. But at least one can keep one's consciousness healthy in the attitude of servant of all the people whom we are living. That's very healthy consciousness. Heart that is full of appreciation. You know. Very healthy consciousness. So sometimes we find that our heart is sickly. It's not very healthy. You know, we feel envious of Vaishnavas. Or one lacks enthusiasm, you know, in performing the devotional activities. One can become lazy, like rising early in the morning or in chanting of the holy name or singing or participating in the classes, you know, or attending the programs. We become little lax. And that is the time we will find our interest for material enjoyment increases. That takes over. That means we are declining. One can immediately take an action. Again, one can try to. So, the purpose of meetings like this, or the weekly classes which we have, or the programs, the idea is that satsanga, when you say, when you come together, you know, it helps us to take a close look at ourselves. Okay, now here I have to improve. Let me improve. I can do this, I can do that. Yeah. Like, you know, if you do too much service, you get burnt out, you know. And if you reduce the services, then you become slack, you know. So the balance is the greatest challenge. The balance. We all need the balance. Somebody else had a question? Yeah. Had a point?
So how to constantly rejuvenate my enthusiasm?
Our, actually, in order to keep our enthusiasm always, there has to be constantly some fresh challenges that we should be getting. Actually, it is the duty of a leader, it is said, to create fresh challenges for the people working with him. It's a duty. Actually, in congregation also, our hope is that all of you, you know, you lead a group of many, many people in the future. And you will be creating nice, fresh, devotional challenges for people. Like, for example, marathon book distribution, you know. It's a fresh challenge. And all grihasthas go to different places, put tables and everything, you know. They're very happy, you know. We distributed so many books, and Shukchan book gives prizes, Prabhupada deity and all that, you know. So one full month, and how it went, you don't know, you know. Like in Bombay, I've seen Ranath Swami, how he does it in Chowpatty, I've been observing. What they do, like marathon time, everyone works very hard. And after the marathon, now January, what do they have? Rath Yatra. So they have to go for collecting funds for the Rath Yatra. And then Pune Yatra comes, January only. Then Pune Yatra is 4 days completely engaged, you know. And after the 4 days, you have to take another 4 days rest. You know, it's a hectic Yatra. People prepare for this, you know, Pune Yatra, and then they come and they attend the program and go back. Then there's Pushyabhishek at the end of the month. You know? It's a big festival in Bombay. You know? And they work so hard making the flower dresses and everything, decorations in the temple and everything. Then February comes, there are many festivals in February. many, many festivals, preparation for the festivals. See, as soon as a festival, there's flower garland decoration, you know, new dress making, you know, decorating the temple hall, you know. And also, along with every festival has a different type of preparation, you know. They work hard for that. In March, you know, Gaur Purnima comes, they have a 5-day long event, Gaur Purnima. So people, many people attend morning and evening, they attend the programs like that. And then sometimes in April, they go for one small yatra sometimes. Otherwise, in April, May, June also, what they do when Radha Swami goes abroad, they have this tranquil showers or whatever. You know, every Sunday they put up. Some dramas are there and lectures are there in the temple. And of course, devotees get some time in April, May. They get some time. Sometimes they do summer camp, you know, the summer vacation time. Many Matajis, Prabhujis, they have the activities like that. And then the August is going to come, you know, before August comes, they prepare for the Janmashtami collection, souvenir and everything. Work hard, bringing money from various places. And then they prepare for dramas 3 months, you know, like September, August, September, October. Sometimes it starts in summer vacation only, isn't it? Sometimes 4 or 5 months they prepare for dramas, big, big magnum opus dramas, big dramas. You know, that absorbs so much time, you know, and energy of people. People travel long, long distances, and 80 people, 100 people together put up big dramas. This time it was a 2-hour drama, you know. Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas, Nimai sannyas. It was almost a 2-hour drama, you know. So they work very hard for these dramas. Months together they work, almost every day rehearsal. That keeps them absorbed. And in November, needless to say, in November they have this big yatra, isn't it? 15-20 days. So, Maharaj in Radhana Swami in Bombay is creating, you know, fresh challenges. The congregation, you know, keeping them engaged. So it's very important that we have, see, when we don't have a constant engagement, then mind will go in wrong directions and the mind will want to enjoy the world and mind will forget Krishna, you know, and we can become very easily slack. Like sometimes you find some devotee missing in the temple. Why they are missing? You know, they have been coming for some time and all of a sudden they are missing because we are not paying attention to them, we are not giving them any seva, you know. I have seen many people in Pune also, they are coming and asking, is there any seva in the temple, Guruji, can we do some seva? We have to make our congregation department very strong. It's very, very important. Yeah. All of you only can do that. Huh? Because in our temple, you know, brahmacharis and boys, you know, they get services in the base. Huh? We have a base, and base gives abundant service, more than, you know, what they need. Huh? Basically like a big elephant to maintain. Isn't it? Most of the people sleep, you know, 4 hours, 4.5 hours, and they work hard, you know. But similarly, we also want to create services for the grihasthas. Actually, there are abundant services, you know. You know, we can think of, you know, I can give qualitatively what all the things you can do. But then, you know, if each of you take up different things and you develop on it, you know, like we are talking about, you know, cultivating well-wishers, you know, it's a big department. You know, like some of the evenings, if you make teams and send people out for cultivating well-wishers. Similarly, in a corporate preaching, preaching, you know, bringing people, bringing groups of people, taking Bhakti Vriksha, you know, for them, study cycle for them. Like that, we can think of many services. It's not only preaching activity or cultivating activity. There are so many activities even temple needs. For example, if one congregation devotee takes up cleanliness of the temple, you know, as the department. Just look at the campus, how dirty it is, you know. Our campus gets dirty very easily.
Someone refused to become a lifer
member, no? Yeah, he went around and saw it. Our people keep cleaning also, but Brahmacharya is clean, maha cleaning they do, but it keeps getting dirtier. But we want to make it like, you know, very decent looking. Somebody has aesthetic appeal, you know, they can make that. So there are unlimited services, you know. So we have to enthusiastically take up. It all depends on the zeal people have, you know. If you have a zeal for a particular service, you take it up. And then one can develop it very nicely. Yeah. And we should have it, like, you know, if you are looking at the sky and saying, Krishna, is there any service will drop from the sky? Nothing will drop. You have to actually like begin from one small thing and then you will develop more and more and more like that. Yeah. There are so many centers in ISKCON, if you see also. You know, there are 4 devotees, 5 devotees, and we can do the, you know, rock bottom minimum, it's the bottom line minimum. Okay, wake up in the morning, do Mangalarti, worship the deity, you know, take prasad, and then finish. Day is over. You know? Prabhupada wanted us to do a lot of things. He wanted us to distribute his books. He wanted us to preach. He wanted us to have Govinda restaurant, for example, you know, wanted to have schools for children. So many things we can do actually, unlimited things. Of course, every one of you have your own limitations also. You're working in a company or a college or anywhere. Within the available time, you are doing a lot of things already. There are many things going on in Pune even now. Like we have Bhakti Prahlad School, isn't it? Mataji's are doing, many Prabhuji's are involved in that. But if anybody feels that they are not having enough challenges, then they should take up challenges. That's the point. There should be sufficient challenges that your mind has no room for Maya. Mind should not have any room for Maya. There should be sufficient challenges in life. Yeah. Like, you know, you all have your prescribed duties to family and company or whatever. And you have your Krishna consciousness. This is the main. And keeping these two things, over a period of time, we, you know, we take up more and more and more and more for, on behalf of Krishna. Then we get more mercy also we get. Like that, yeah. Actually, enthusiasm comes by dedication. When you dedicate ourselves more and more and more, then once, because, you know, Krishna starts reciprocating. Yeah. When Krishna reciprocates, then one's, you know, inner joy is not something, you know, it's not something that can be created by us. It's a blessing actually. Yeah. It's a reward, yeah.
Actually, when we are in Brahmachari Ashram, we have lots of time and we are fully engaged to spread Krishna consciousness. And when we come to the Grihastha Ashram, there are some limitations that if we try to spend more time for Krishna consciousness, books, book distribution, or different sevas, then the Grihastha counseling system, they also teaches that you have to be very patient. Don't be fanatism. You have to spend more time to homes also.
Yeah.
That criteria is there. How
yeah.
to manage?
See, when you take a husband-wife relationship, wife or the husband should be treated as a spiritual partner. See, you are on a spiritual journey. In a spiritual journey, just as we had our mother, father, brothers, sisters, relatives, so they are all in our journey. And you are leading the life of journey of life. In the same way, once you take a spiritual life, you have a partner who is also treading the same path as you. You want to achieve Krishna, so she. So when we have taken up a family responsibility, sometimes people become fanatical in the name of serving Krishna. They may ignore the family. It happened in America. The Gurukul problem came only because the fathers were going on book distribution and the mothers were going on fundraising. You know, and the children were put in the Gurukul and there were no devotees to take care of the children. And they were taken care by karmis, materialistic people. And all the problems came. So we should not, every ashrama has its responsibilities to be fulfilled first. Without fulfilling the responsibility in the name of service, one should not forego one's duties. It has to be balance. Yeah. So even people like us, for example, you know, who will want to be a president and manage a temple? Management sucks so much of energy. Yeah. It takes a lot of time. Yeah. You know, solving problems, solving conflicts, you know, within congregation, within brahmacharis, within students, counseling people, coming with so many psychological problems, mental problems, interpersonal conflicts. It takes a lot of time. Who will want to do that? And if you ask me, I would like to be a preacher. Just go out and preach and distribute books. You know, but I am in a position where I have to do these things. It's my duty. If I say that I won't do it, then I'll be displeasing my special master. I'll be displeasing the GBC. So I do it as a part of duty. Often there is a common wrong notion amongst people that brahmacharis are jolly, you know, brahmacharis have a lot of time. You know, they don't have the material job to do, you know, all day they have for Krishna. Once you made a calculation of brahmacharis also, how much time we get. For example, we rise early in the morning, no doubt about that, 4 o'clock or whatever. 4 to 9 is wonderful time. And 9 o'clock, you know, you take your breakfast or something and go to ashram, you wash your clothes and then you have to come for the class, you know. 10 to 11.30 is the class. So 10 to 11.30 we have an intense class where we study Shastra more. 11.30 you come, there are so many phone calls after that. many senior devotees get phone calls from all over, everywhere, you know, phone calls and meeting people also, till about 12:30, 12:45. Then after that we have to roll chapatis, you know, we have to make. See, morning there is subjugating, some rounds are remaining for some devotees. So they have to chant the balance rounds. Just as at home you are cooking and offering bhoga to Lord, here also we are cooking and offering bhoga, but this is a big bhoga. Here we have to cook for 120 devotees. Here. Brahmacharya has to cook for 120, it's a big thing, the cooking. And we also have to have an auto rickshaws going to market and bringing purchase, you know, all the goods you have to bring. And now we have more than 20-25 two-wheelers to maintain. That's the vehicles department to be maintaining these vehicles which are going out for preaching. And we have grocery purchase, we have petty purchase departments, you know. And Brahmacharya needs so many items for their practical use, you know. So all those items we have to purchase also from the market. So we made a purchase department. See, why I am telling this example, these are all basic maintenance of our body, yeah. Nothing to do with soul directly, isn't it? Like, you know, Brahmacharya need, you know, like shaving cream and shaving kit and soap and towel and dhoti, kurta, tilak box, you know, and what not, so many items, you know. And to get all these things and store them, you know, and you have to give each Brahmacharya a locker. Just as in, you know, in any residential school they have lockers, so we have to give them lockers. Then cleanliness is another big department to keep the cleanliness of the ashram, cleanliness of the temple. So we found that, you know, we also have maha cleaning day, many, you know, one day we do maha cleaning day also we give. So half of our time also goes in maintaining our body, you know, and maintaining the setup of the ashram here. And there may be some interpersonal conflicts also among devotees which has to be solved. It's there in homes. Like amongst grihasthas, we see there will be sometimes fight and sometimes jolly times, you know, good times, happy times. Same thing with Brahmacharya ashram also. Sometimes quarrel, another time they're very happy. And this is there everywhere. It's only two different paths, that's all. Ultimately, they both meet at the same ultimate goal. Here only two people will be fighting, here 40 people will fight. At different times. Yeah, they have to become purified in that way. Yeah. And there are problems. There are physical, and they have, Brahmacharya also get diseases. And they have to go to doctor. In fact, we are calling a doctor here twice in a week. You know, Ayurvedic doctor. They have to take treatment also. Sometimes when you see Brahmacharya, you think, oh, these are Vaikuntha people, they are jolly. You know, they have no problems. You feel like that, they are just chanting and dancing. That is the only thing you get to see. You know, when you come to temple. Isn't it? You see that Brahmacharya are nice giving lectures and they are chanting and dancing, you know, they don't have anything to do. But if you come and see practically, you know, we also have to do the cleaning of the ashram, huh? Cleaning of bathroom, latrines, ashram, cleaning all this area, cutting sabji, rolling chapatis, and maintain the deity. You know, we have Radha Krishna and Gaudnita and small deities. That takes a lot of time, maintains a lot. So, and then evening, of course, they go for preaching outside. Evening they may go out, you know. So they get some, I can confidently tell you that Brahmacharis, don't think that Brahmacharis are having unlimited time in comparison to grihasthas. Maybe you can say they may have double the time, you can say probably, you know, what you all have. Not much. They also have, in fact, Brahmacharis demand a little more than grihasthas. Why? Because Brahmacharis have to study the Shastra as well. If they don't study well, they cannot give inspiration. If they are not, see, we have to not only study, we have to feel inspired. We have to realize the digest the Shastra, otherwise we cannot actually turn anyone's heart at all. So they have to prepare also very nicely. They have to study nicely, get into it, absorb themselves, and they have their mind and senses to control and harness all their energies in Krishna service. And they have body and mind takes a lot of the time also.
Not having privacy, not having bank account, not having personal security, that also becomes pressure.
Yeah, it is certainly, actually it is a pressure, we can say, at least for the first 2-3 years, it's a pressure. Like, you know, leaving mother and father, for example, you know, leaving the family and relatives, in the first 2-3 years, it will be a big pressure for many Brahmacharis. Yeah, as you rightly said, you know, having absolutely no privacy at all. Yeah, and no bank balance. This can cause some insecurity in their hearts. Actually, they have to come to a stage when, you know, they become totally, you know, jolly. They say that now I have no fear, you know. Krishna will take care. That takes some time. Yeah. Every ashram has its allied advantages and disadvantages. Yeah. But it is very important that the husbands should see the wives as spiritual partners. You should see the wife as a friend in spiritual life, not as a liability. The wife should not be seen as a liability or a trouble creator. No. You know, probably I would rather advance alone very nicely. And if I were alone, probably I would have gone much ahead. You know, one shouldn't think like that. Probably we may be giving them more trouble. Check that, yeah. That's the ideal platform to see. Both have to advance in Krishna consciousness and whatever is basic minimum needed, that has to be done. Like, you know, many times, like brahmacharis have to shave every week, you know. Like, you know, minimum, you know, once in a week you have to shave the head, and you know, two times or three times you have to shave the beard. And we used to wonder, so much time goes in that. Yeah. Almost, you know, 1.5-2 hours gone every week. So now if somebody says, you know, I hate it and I don't want to shave, you know, then it will be looking like a Babaji, you know. And we spend a lot of time for the body, you know, clipping the nails. All of us, you can see, so much time goes for the eating and cooking, for example, you know. Cooking for the Lord is very little quantity, you know. If you have to cook only for the deities. But then we have to cook for so many people. Sunday cooking is a big thing. So don't think the activities are directly spiritual. Like going to market, for example. How many brahmacharis do you think will like the idea? Now the bus repair, you know, it takes, when we made this bus which we have, this bus took practically almost 45 days to make. This body of the bus. Lakshman Prabhu was in Belgaum. Day in and day out he has to be watching the people when they are making the bus. Otherwise they will cheat, you know. So he saved something like, you know, 40-50,000 rupees he saved when we built the body of the bus. And we have got many things, practical things to deal with, material world also. Yeah. Like, you know, we go out in Harinam in the evening. On Saturday evening we go on Harinam. Like that. Nowadays even brahmacharis go with certain grihasthas to meet some people for cultivating them, well-wishers and all. We also go to the outside world. We, like, you know, we publish many things for which you have to go to the outside world and meet people. So, yeah. There are many things like that. It's not that brahmacharya ashram is like an oasis, you know, in a desert, it is completely rounded up and they have no, it's a no problem zone, you know. It's not like that. Yeah. There are practical problems. Like in your home, for example, if somebody gets sick, you know, like, you know, you have a child, your child got sick, immediately you'll pay attention, isn't it? You have only three people, you know, husband, wife and child, you know. But in brahmacharya ashram, there are 60 brahmacharis, you know. One gets sick, you know, many may not even know also sometimes, you know. Unless the sick person goes and tells, "Nah, I am sick." So, yeah, there are problems are there. And another thing is, we have to learn to see in whatever situation we are put, how to be grateful. That's very important. If you are not grateful in the position in which Krishna has put us, without gratefulness, then we will not be able to progress. Like, for example, a brahmacharya should think, you know, "Oh, Krishna, you have given me all my time so that I can serve you. You kept me in the ashram. So let me, you know, use my body, mind, words, everything in your service." Same way, a grihastha should feel that the Lord has given a grihastha a proper wife who is a devotee wife also. Like, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an example given, the wife is considered to be a fortress. Like, if you see a fort, you know, when the enemy is attacking the fort, you know, fort is actually a safeguard for the king. A king, along with all his subjects, can very safely remain inside, and the fort will, you know, protect the king. And the fort prevents actually the damage of the king. Similarly, once you think that, you know, if I were not married, probably I would be falling prey to sinful habits in the material world. I'd be breaking the regulative principles, and I'll be going to hell, gliding down to hell. And Krishna has given me a, you know, spiritual partner who, another example is given of a boat, I think, isn't it? I think that example also comes in Bhagavatam, I think. So, one is actually led towards the ultimate destination. So, wife is actually a partner who helps you to ultimately go to the ultimate destination. That is the goal. And children also. You know, sometimes people say, no child, I don't have a child. They want to say, when the child comes, they say, child is a headache. We shouldn't think like that. It all depends on our attitude and outlook, how we see things. One thing is, the other side of the mountain is always green. Yeah. You know, like, you know, some new, some of the young brahmacharis, you know, tend to think, you know, Grihasthas are quite happy, you know. And they have no problem, they have their own car, you know. They have their own bungala, their job, their privacy. Husband, wife, child, you know. Not here in the ashram, you see 50 people running around. The early morning, you know. Taking bath, kacha kacha, so much of noise, so much of sound. Everyone has his own walkman making sound. The early morning. And absolutely no privacy. Sometimes you see how it looks, isn't it? Here you have seen this. Isn't it? So they may think of grihasthas are more happy, you know, they have their home, you know. Morning, there won't be so much rush in the morning like this. And I don't think like
there that. There is no rush in the morning.
Isn't it? Isn't it? I am saying the other side of the mountain is always green. Huh? Actually, Brahmacharis also think like that, that they think you are more happier. Yeah. Yeah, they think you are much happier. Actually, many Brahmacharis even talk, hey, in Grihasthasana they can peacefully read very nicely. You know, once they come back from the college or office, they can nicely read. Here, there is a, they have a sadhana card, you know. Beginning from early morning till night, they go to bed. Every hour they have to account. What did you do in each hour? Yeah, 1 minute. Even taking rest also is accounted for. Yeah. In the daytime, half an hour they can take rest maximum. And beyond that, they cannot take rest, they'll be woken up. And there are schedules one after another. You know. So sometimes they may think, you know, you have more freedom. You know, once you come back from the company or college, you have evening time. You know, and you have the choice also. If you want, you can go for a program or you can stay back and read and all. Yeah. So what you can do, next before you all come next time, I would give you exercise for all of you. What are all the, now I have told you elaborately about Brahmacharya Ashram also now, Brahmacharya and Grihastha Ashram. What are all the different advantageous situations that you are in by being a Grihastha? You can write and bring next time. Huh? Isn't it? Next week you can bring. Yeah.
Advantages.
Next meeting. Huh?
Advantages.
Advantages, yeah. What all advantages you have in your current situation? Right. So that contemplation is a worthy contemplation. Huh? When you do that. Actually, every husband and wife should write about what are the good qualities in my husband or good qualities in my wife. It's very important. Actually, by writing those things and then by contemplating on them, then one will become a good partner. At the same time, what are the things that I am doing wrongly which cause my other partner to behave in a wrong way with me, you know. So again, that also is the same thing, you know. What are the mistakes in me which makes the other person behave with me, you know, rudely or, you know, in such manner, yeah. That's the long, in every ashram we have to be, every ashram is meant for purification. See, nobody can stop you from having a desire to serve Krishna. You can maintain a strong desire to serve Him for a longer period of time. So that desire will actually fructify as the time progresses. So that longing only will actually, the burning longing we should have in our heart. Krishna, you know, I am put in a situation where I have to go to office, I have so many household responsibilities and I am able to do very little service for you. But I am very much longing to serve you. Please may, you are the, you know, Maya Adhyakshana Prakriti. Isn't you are the controller of Prakriti. Please adjust the Prakriti in such a manner that I can serve you more. Yeah, we can pray like that and try to serve more. Yeah. Often Brahmacharis think, you know, Brahmacharya Ashram has more time. Nowadays Brahmacharis also are very, very tied up. They don't get time. Yeah. See, festivals and all take so much time, you know. One after another, so many things come up. Yeah. We will think of in future, when we make our congregation department strong, to, you know, have many, many devotees doing different type of services. Actually in Pune, I feel we have a long way to go in congregation development. Where we'll have hundreds of, you know, husband, wives performing different services and every one of them happily situated in their own service, you know. Now also you all are doing many things, but there are many, many more families who are not given any service properly. It has to be done in a little more organized way. So next meeting date we can fix, Krishna.
You are coming back on
26th March, yeah? Oh, yeah, 26th March. Yeah. 26th, I am coming.
Gaur Purnima,
is it? No, Gaur Purnima, I am in Mayapur, but next day I will be here.
Next day, you're living on Gaurapur, next day of Gaurapur.
Next day of Gaurapur, yeah.
You'll reach 28.
No, I'll come. I'm trying to come for the same Jagannath Mishra Festival lecture. I'll come by flight, I'll come. So that I can come for this lecture. Jagannath Mishra Festival.
You're coming here by that time? 26th
you come? Yeah.
27th is a Sunday? No. Huh? Gaurapur is Friday, no, this time?
Friday. 26th is Saturday.
Sure, no? Yeah, sure. Can I have 27th? Sunday because we can have a little longer. Ah,
okay.
Weekday is a little bit.
Yeah. So today became a little longer, yeah.
No, we didn't get enough time actually, 2 hours. We decided na, Sunday we can have 5:15 to 7:45, 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
March 27th.
Actually, I went through this, what you all gave, little bit I went through it.
But how you will come so fast after attending Gaurapur Nama here in India?
Then I can try to come, yeah. In case there is a change in my program, no? Which is likely to be that, I will inform you. 1 week before, you know, it's good enough, no? Isn't it?
Yeah. 1 hour before.
Yeah. Today was last night.
Actually, there are 20 are there. 10 devotees couldn't come.
Yeah.
Last minute and all that.
Yeah. Actually, one question I wanted to ask to all of you, which I didn't ask today. It will take one full session, which is worthy of doing. Many have come from different places, like, you know, Jacob Alpo's wife, she has come from Bombay, you know, and Pranam Alpo's wife, she has, Mataji has come from Nasik, you know. So, I felt that, you know, we have a group in which many people do not know one another. So, it will be worthwhile spending at least an hour every time, you know. So, each devotee will ask them question, what I would like to hear from them. Is they can say a little bit about their Krishna conscious background. You can tell me what all they can say about. Each of you, even all of you also. Tulsi Prabhu, even they can know also. You can say about when you came to Krishna consciousness. You can say how you came to Krishna consciousness. Each, how many minutes you can give for each person?
Those 5 things we ask for newly initiated persons, no?
Yeah.
Speak on.
I can give that to you, those 5 things you can give. I don't have those 5 things right now. You remember them?
These two things we talk about. And then plus services to
how,
the inspiration.
How did you come to Krishna consciousness, first question then?
What are the services I am planning to do?
What they have been doing? What you all have been doing, you can say that?
Planning to do also basically.
Yeah, what you have been doing and what, how would you like to show your dedication to Prabhupada in future? Isn't it? That's one question. And what else? And what is the thing that inspires you the most in the Krishna consciousness and gives you the drive now? Isn't it? So this kind of things, next meeting we will start. So every meeting we can know a few people. Actually, one good session has come from most of you, I saw it. What they say is whenever we do discussion, it's not necessary that everyone has to speak, you know. So many of them have written that a few can speak, you know. But what happened today was, it became one-sided. I spoke most of it.
Because we did on a weekday.
Yeah. So I couldn't give all of
them. Sunday.
Yeah. Sunday we do.
Yeah.
The next few topics, there will be more questions to all of you when we discuss. But it's a very important topic. So next time we will have it for 1 hour. You all can prepare and come. Next time you should speak it very spontaneously so that you know it. You won't be able to speak it abroad.
These questions are advantage of
both. Both. That is the homework you have to write and bring. In fact, probably, you know, after speaking about this point, then each of you, whatever points you have written, you can tell others. Yeah. Actually, I don't know where I have read in some place, one of the couples in ISKCON, you know, they say about the Like the husband says how his wife helps him in his devotion service. And the wife says how my husband helps me in my devotion service. Where you saw that?
99 Punayatra. Two disciples of Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. I saw that link.
Is it? Okay. I remember reading it somewhere, probably in BTG or somewhere it came. That's really worthwhile contemplation. Yeah. So the idea is, in whatever situation we are put in, how to make that situation the best situation or the positive situation and make it a springboard to advance in Krishna consciousness. That we should see. Huh? I think this contemplation will help us for that. Now you all will take prasad now? Or we should do 2 minutes kirtan? Late.